Welcome to that sweet spot on the internet where men can just be men. That's right. Every single week we have conversations that mean the most to the men that mean the most. We talk about shorties. We talk about business, money, technology, entertainment, movies, everything that you want to talk about with your fellas. We talk about here. Every single week, check out the Men on the Internet podcast.
Matter of fact, stop your show right now and subscribe to Men on the Internet.
You'll find me, Calvin Johnston.
My name's Sunil.
And I'm Chris.
And we're going to be talking about everything from money to the matters of the heart. Find us every single week on the Men on the Internet podcast, wherever podcasts stream. Women are invited to.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh,
what are you doing? I need for me. I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
Brendan Urban said, who should get more flack, Ryan Tannehill and them interceptions or Aaron Rodgers not getting the job done?
Let's get into Aaron this Bengals game now that you brought that question up. Bengals-Titans. My question is, what should the Titans take away from this season after getting bounced out in the divisional round?
Tannehill's not the answer.
Took y'all that long?
I was about to say, is that the biggest, that's the biggest takeaway?
I've been saying it.
That's like saying the sky blue.
Yeah, you have. You have.
Who you going to replace him with?
I don't know.
But see, the thing is, Ken, I think that's the easy answer, and it is the right answer. Mm-hmm. But who do you replace him with? Because
that's what I was saying about Baker.
You did.
What?
Keep
you
going.
Say that.
No, keep going.
Oh, my God.
He kind of did say that.
Yeah, I'm giving the credit. He said it.
You did say that about Baker. But
swap him.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest, though. The Tennessee Titans are in a situation where they have shown that they can win games. The Browns cannot.
Better coaching.
So let me ask you this. Hold on. Let me just ask you this.
You know what? No, we're not going to get this.
No. Let me ask you this. No, I got to ask you. Ken. The worms are out of the can. If you swap Baker and Tannehill, what do you think happens?
Tannehill has more experience under his belt. So he's going to win more games.
I would probably say similar results, but
I think the Browns go to the playoffs and Tennessee's at home.
For sure.
The same because of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But
with Kevin Stefanski?
Yes.
Hell no.
Yes. Hell yes. No. Yes. Look.
But anyway, keep going about Tannehill.
The reason why the Browns are technically kind of win now, but the Titans are win now because you have a top 10 running back all time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he's still not done. He's still got a lot of tread on them tires.
And you got two good receivers.
He got two good receivers. Not, and you have a, huh?
That foot surgery? That's not a lot of tread.
I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine. And then the defense is pretty good. Not stellar.
The defensive line is a monster.
Well, that's because of the Bengals' offensive line.
They'll make us a front four.
Yeah, they made it. but they were that going into it, though. I mean, you're right, though. That Bengals' offensive line gave it to them, but they were already tough going into that game.
So to me, the biggest takeaway, Tannehill, is what holds them back. But I think that when they're at 100%, when Derrick Henry can make it through a full season and be ready for the playoffs, I don't think Tannehill is... No, Tannehill holds you back.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, where's the evidence? Because last playoff games, look at him.
He holds you back.
In the playoffs.
Lamar beat him last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tannehill in the playoffs has been bad.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. Like, you know, coming into Q, and, you know, maybe that's why Q left, because Q had him going to the Super Bowl. And I came around. I was like, you know what? I was wrong about the Titans in terms of the regular season. Because they still found a way to win a lot of games. And maybe that's coaching. Even without Derrick Henry. Because you have to give him credit. Credit where credit's due. So I give him that, but it was just a matter of time when you needed him.
Yeah.
And the defense did their job. They came back thanks to some was there a turnover that got him back in the game? I think it was. It was a pick.
Yeah,
but he threw three picks.
Yeah. Well, no. Burrow had a pick, or was it a
fumble? He had a bullshit pick.
Okay, the one off of P. Ryan.
Yes. And that's how they got back in the game, because they were like 10 points.
Yeah, they scored like 10 points after
that. Yeah, real quick. So, and it was there for the taking. And this motherfucker, Tannehill, it was tipped. But, you know, some people were saying he shouldn't even threw that ball in that area.
Yeah.
Well, they said, some people said he should have threw it towards the ground instead of in his chest. But shit, after when I saw him throw that pick to Mike Hilton in the red zone.
Oh, the first one? I missed the first pick.
No, the first pick was the first play of the game.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah, I missed that too. I had to see the highlights for that. But I was like, damn, because I was like, damn, Cincinnati, why would they receive the ball? They should have kicked it off. I was like, oh, shit, they got a turnover? And then that red zone turn, to me, that was the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, if they score, well, there was multiple points, but if they score at least 3-7, there's no, you know what I'm saying, walk-off win for Cincinnati. And going for two at the line,
that part,
that was the coach.
And I
think we brought that up in the chat. Mike Vrabel gets all this praise. They talking about coach of the year, all that shit. Nah. Mm-hmm. Why are you going for two when you got Derrick Henry?
That's your game. That's your fucking game. Because it would have been 7-3, like you said. They went for two for what?
And then that one play, I can't even remember. Y'all have to forgive me because I can't remember what point in the game it was. But it was like 3rd and 1. And then they ran that little boot,
with Tannehill. I know what you're talking about.
It was like some crazy play.
I think
call.
It was supposed to be an RPO. Kept it or something. I heard there was some mishap. And then they went for 4th down.
They went for it on 4th down with Derrick Henry. Like, that should have been Derrick Henry all day.
Yeah, Derrick Henry should, yeah.
It was just some.
That's what I'm saying.
You're saying Derrick Henry on both downs.
Yes, that's what I mean.
But yep. That 2 point, because if they kick that extra point, they win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unnecessary. I think the thing was, like, you didn't have to go for two at that point. There was no scenario where you look at your sheet and were like, oh, yeah, this is the moment. So I don't get it. But I don't know if people are talking about that the way they should, because that was a key moment in the game. And it kept it 6-3.
Nah. I know we're talking about Tennessee, but we got to talk about Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Let me start off by saying, if the first 2 or 3 draft picks are not O linemen, they don't love Joe Burrow. Because what he has to do to get the job done, no other quarterback in these playoffs has had to do. And you have to give Joe Burrow extra credit for the situation that the organization put him in. And I think that you also have to overrate Joe Burrow's performances right now. Bro, 1.5 seconds, two seconds into the snap.
He was holding the ball a lot.
I saw that too.
It was a mix. It was a mix. That. He holds the ball and the play calling. I hated the play calling.
Yeah, the play calling is not. Look, that old line is the most porous thing that I've ever seen out of a playoff team.
But a couple of those sacks, like they were calling, it felt like they were calling a lot of deep plays, and he had to hold the ball. Nobody was getting open.
They do, but it's because where does the talent lie in that wide receiving?
Yeah, but the coach got to understand. They don't. They every time you drop back, it's a sack.
Protect the man. This motherfucker had 9 sacks. There was a play. The nigga got off the line. The offensive lineman went the whole other way. Like, he was ordering a dinner, Jimmy John's for later on. I'm like, bro, where you going? 58, come right at Burrow looking at the nigga. Right. He came through like, oh, shit, bro. This how y'all doing.
I could have made that say.
Bro, I'm like.
It is bad.
Hey, man.
No. It was just bad.
Hey, man, I owe Joe Burrow an apology because Joe Burrow, unlike any other game, I'm not. They ain't no negatives you can say about him at all in his performance. Because without him, they would not be where they are.
No, not at all.
So,
my heart, I'm not going to front, and I'm not a big Cincy fan or something like that, but every time he takes a hit, my heart skips a beat for him.
I do too. He grabbed that leg.
You think your heart skip a beat?
Bruh.
I'm like, motherfucker, Red Fox.
What was your experience like? Because, God,
that shit was up and down. I had to be.
Early on, because I brought this up last time, I hate when we settle for field goals. So early on, when I'm looking at like how it was a real defensive, obviously, battle. But the sacks was just getting to the point where I was like, why are we not doing check down plays? Mm-hmm. That hitch route to Uzama was there all fucking day.
Boy, to kill him over the middle.
Boy was going. He's the fucking best slot receiver in the playoffs right now. And we keep trying to, he keeps trying to go to Chase. I'm like, bro, he's taking all these hits. After the first half, I'm like, because Cincinnati has been a good second half team, even in this win. Mm-hmm. But that first half should have just been like, all right, bet, fuck the script that we got. Let's do these short passing plays. Let's open up this fucking front four a little bit, not only for the receivers, but for Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon couldn't really get shit for real until mm-hmm. the second half when he busted out mm-hmm. that shit. So my whole time, I'm just like, this is where we end. This is where the season ends. Because mm. I was thinking that we got over the hump as far as that playoff game. I was really, I didn't really
care. That was what you wanted.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. The only thing I was really worried about was later on that this weekend was just for Patty to win. That was it. Outside of that, I was just happy with the Bengals being in the divisional round. But I knew we had some chance to beat Tennessee because really, Tennessee doesn't really scare me offensively. And I think I was reading a lot of the Athletic as far as that matchup. And there was pundits picking like, oh, yeah, it's going to be 34-31 Tennessee. And the motherfuckers in the chat like, bro, where y'all seeing all these points from? Tennessee is a slow starting team when yeah. it comes to offense. Mm-hmm. So when it was close, we were up like, what, 16-6? Mm-hmm. And I was like, we could really just shut them or shut them out. We almost shut them out for real. And when that fucking pick happened or what the refs called, I was like, all right. The refs
was that a pick?
No.
I don't think it was. I just think it was enough evidence to overturn it.
Well, because of what they called on the field. On the field, they called it interception.
Yeah, that's why I said yeah, you couldn't.
You know what I'm saying? But to me, in the midst of catching the ball, the tip hit the ground. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it nullifies it being a true catch because the ground aided in catching the ball, in my opinion.
That was my opinion too. But like you said, based off the call, it was just too close. But after that, literally, they score a touchdown to A.J. Brown, and I'm like, all right, this is where the bullshit happened. But thank God for Ryan Tannehill. I got to send him a care basket because he gifted me the best gift of the season. Because I'm thinking, man, that drive was like, all right, this is where Tennessee takes it down the field, kick the field goal to win. That's how the Bengals go home. When E.I. Apple, who was a former Giant, made a play.
Yeah,
and Logan Wilson, underrated linebacker. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you about Logan Wilson now. Underrated linebacker. He's gonna be one of the ones coming up in the next couple years. I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic when we had the Mike Hilton interception. I thought he was gonna take it to the house.
I did too. I don't know what he was.
Because Mike Hilton. He said it after. I think he had a pick six in one of the. I think in the Steelers game in the regular season. He was like, that was my first pick six ever in my career. I'm talking about all the way back in high school and all this shit.
Oh, wow.
So I don't think he's used to getting turnovers like that. So he was just happy as hell to have a fucking ball. He ran like a little kid down the field. But I just got to give credit to the defense because the whole time going into the game, we lost one of our defensive tackles. We didn't know if Henderson was going to come back because of the concussion. Mm-hmm. They showed the fuck up. Julio Jones, even though he's not Julio, but he's still Julio Jones, a big receiver. A.J. Brown, still a great receiver. The lock up Derrick Henry like that. Granted, he had a touchdown, but he was really non-existent.
Yeah, I felt him coming back was going to hurt Tennessee. Really? I really did. I felt
of Foreman?
Like, because they had gotten the rhythm with the guys that they had, and you're going to try to – when you bring a guy back like that, that was your complete offense coming off an injury, he ain't played all his time. You're going to try to force feed him the ball, and you're more concerned with getting him involved than you are running the sets that you've been running. And I felt like that was going to hurt Tennessee. That's kind of what swayed me. Like, some people were like, if he come back, they got a chance. For me, if he come back, they don't have a chance.
But, so a takeaway or, you know, the original question, what do we take away? And I agree with you with the Tannehill thing. But the other thing to me watching these Tennessee Titans was they don't have a guy to take it over the top. Because there was one play where A.J. Brown was open and Tannehill threw it. He overthrew him, but he only overthrew him because A.J. Brown don't got wheels like that.
I saw that play too. I was like, if that was a perfect ball, that's a tug.
You know what I'm saying? Almost anybody else with a little bit more speed would have caught that because Tannehill threw a really good ball. Mm-hmm. You could just tell Brown don't got the wheels to go get it. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that was one of the things I took away because I'm like, okay, Tennessee is in a win now situation, and I'm not saying Tannehill gives you the best opportunity to win, but who do you replace him with? And we can go into the bigger shit another time, but who do you replace him with? And my thing is, you got, because he's not the semi truck that's gonna put the trailer on and pull this shit where it needs to go. He needs all. He needs everything. So they need a speedster. Yeah. When I'm looking at that offense, that's the one, the biggest thing that they're devoid of. I'm not scared. Nobody says, hey, you got to play that man 10 yards back. Nobody does that on that team. Mm-hmm. If they have that, I think it adds a different dimension because now you can't always load up that box the way you do.
Yeah. I think when we talk about that game, I thought Tannehill definitely blew early. I really honestly didn't know he was going to blow it. Like, I was surprised he actually threw that pick because I thought they were going to be a little bit safe. Thought maybe the Bengals were a little deflated after blowing a 10-point lead that quickly. But I was curious to see what Burrow does when he gets the ball back because he had been struggling to move the ball all game long with the way they were playing it. The most notable thing he said to me was when he was like, I knew what coverage they were playing and I knew I would get a chance if they were playing that coverage to get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. That's a guy that understands the game and he damn near executed it. And they gave him the look he was looking for, and he delivered in the clutch. These are the moments that we talk about.
Right.
And he hit him spot on. And then I think they ran it a couple of times to get in field goal range. Yeah. And then shout out to the kicker. Like, that motherfucker was drilling them.
And he was
shooting McPherson.
I'm talking about every
shooty.
Kick.
Called him shooting McPherson. That's why they do the little game.
I had no questions about his kick. When I saw that first one he kicked, I was like, God, I don't know what about that kick, but it just looked too perfect.
People clowned us for drafting him in the fifth round. They was like, you drafted him fifth round, and you don't get no offensive lineman, all that. So for me, it was like, you mentioned as far as like next year's draft, if they don't get an old lineman, they don't love Joe. I think they love Joe based off of this year's draft because he had a choice. I think they talked to him. I remember reading something where they talked about, do you want Chase or do you want an offensive lineman? Mm-hmm. He said, give me Chase.
Mm, there you go.
That shows you that they already fucked up with his knee and shit. So they probably felt bad and they owed it to him. So they gave him his pick. And obviously he chose right. But obviously going into next season, the whole draft is offensive line, defensive line probably. But for me, it's the fact that he got sacked 9 times, still threw over 300 yards. Damn, the 350 yards.
That's what, yeah.
And I'm like, if he doesn't get sacked, that's probably a 500-yard game.
Oh, 100.
Mm-hmm.
100. Yep. And that's what I said. Even you know, he had no touchdowns, one interception. I was like, that's still one of the best quarterbacking games I've ever seen on this level. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man, that was huge. And whether they won or lost, he still would have my respect after this game because he fought. And that makes a difference to a team. I say it all the time. If you keep getting up, that you keep getting knocked down, getting up, your teammates are seeing this. They watching you.
The defense gets tired too. Yeah. It's like, damn, bro, we gotta this cover these niggas, and we gotta keep coming here and doing shit.
Yeah, it's like a fight. If it's like a boxing match. You box somebody, you keep giving your best shot, and they still getting up. Mm-hmm. That'll take everything out of you, mm-hmm. and that's what happened. And it paid off. It looked great.
And you look at him on the sideline; he never gets bothered. Like he just looked unfazed. Like he just moves on to the next play.
So Aqib Talib was talking about this game as well, and he was saying something about when he was on his Rams team, how he was extremely confident. And, you could be very talented. And he was like, he was the Ja'Marr Chase of his Rams team, where you see Ja'Marr out there doing all of these things. Like, damn, he's confident. But the one guy that's more confident than him is Joe Burrow. And that's partly why Joe is having the type of season that he's having, because the talent is there. You know, I always question the arm talent and stuff like that. I'm like, is he special? I always knew he had the moxie about him, but is he special? And you're seeing the specialness, and it derives from that confidence. Like, I'm better than you. And you know what? It was the comment he said last week when they asked about not having an O-line. He said, well, I don't care if the D-line gets through. I'm going to make him miss, and I'm going to go make a play. Well, God damn, you ain't got no wheels, bro. You ain't got the biggest arm in the game, but you are so confident in your ability that your 300-pound ass, yeah, I'm going to shrug you off. And it also goes to the fact of, like, he has multiple times where he can shit on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. He could be one of them QBs that be like, you know, like how Rodgers do sometimes. Yeah. You throw motherfuckers on the or like Big Ben do sometimes. He throw motherfuckers on the bus. He like, bro, I got to do my job. Mm-hmm.
They have theirs, but well, you know I still why? Have to do mine.
They ain't getting no Rolex.
Because he's young right now. wait until about year 8, 9. Joe Burrow going to be throwing all them all that.
No, by next year.
If we still dealing with this by year 8, 9, then yeah.
If we're dealing with this next year, it's going to be a problem. Because exactly. if you get him hurt, you can't keep getting up from this. Yep. So no. You got, like you said, you said it perfectly. You got to address it.
You got to address it.
But yeah, they're not getting the watches for Christmas. They ain't getting that.
They not. No. I don't want Joe Burrow to become Andrew Luck. And that is the trajectory that he's on. Amazing fucking talent. Could win with whatever. You could strip all them wide receivers off of that roster. I'm not saying that they make the playoffs, but fuck, they're going to be in every game because of Joe Burrow, with or without an O-line. Joe Burrow is that damn good. And he's proven that to me. And you know I've been a Joe Burrow supporter. But to me, this game just elevated him.
Me too.
But they got to get an O-line, bro.
Yeah. Did you watch him much when he was at LSU?
Some of the bigger games. Games.
I did. And that's how I knew. I was like, nah, man. I mean,
he threw 60 touchdowns.
We talked about it on here. So
that's where my hate started.
I hope that. I hope
it was because he was good.
I hope that Herbert talk is dead now.
It's not. It's still not. I'm not giving up on that.
Herbert's still there. Herbert's still the guy.
Herbert to me still has better natural talent. He's bigger arm, faster, mobily. Like he has more ingredients.
But he got to catch Burrow at this point.
I don't think so.
He do.
He does.
Why?
Because
didn't they go to the playoffs last year?
Because Burrow has proven he's a winner now. That's the separator. Yeah. That's the separator.
The Chargers. No, they
Herbert
did.
Has a better team around him, and he hasn't gone as far as Burrow has.
Same conference.
But coaching though.
I still don't say that's a better team necessarily.
What? The Chargers are not a better. They are definitely a better team
overall.
Offensive line. O-line.
O-line, okay, well, we'll stop.
O-line is better.
Defensive line, Joey Bosa, better.
D-line, we'll better. They have a better overall team.
I'll give you that.
I think Burrow has definitely taken a step forward, but we know sustained success, right? And Herbert's talent is undeniable, and what he's able to do and win games is undeniable as well. So I think he's right there. I just think the organizations are in two different spots. So, and I think they'll be, competing. But I think Burrow's in a good spot right now to definitely own that division. But, like, he should be making 100%. For the next 5 to 8 years.
I ain't going that far.
No.
Look at Lamar Jackson.
Who?
You still got – Don't do that. Don't do that, Ken. Not on this platform. You saying that to
– Hey, man, that's crazy how soon we forget, ain't it?
Boy, the MVP.
I didn't hear the MVP. That's why I said who. I didn't hear
Lamar Jackson.
No, I feel you. What was my grief always with Lamar? How good of a thrower of the football? He proved it. I said it. I'm still on record. But Joe Burrow is a better thrower of the football.
That's fine. He still has to go through the Ravens.
True. But where the Bengals are right now, literally, they're an O-line away from dominating.
Lamar got like 2 or 3 years left, bro.
But
well, I don't know about that.
Let me ask you this, though. Right. You think if Lamar's didn't have so much injury and attrition this year, you think they would have been better?
Lamar breaking down, y'all.
I think.
I know they would have been better. They was 8-4 going in the first 12 games.
Yeah, and he had nobody. Like, the cover was bare.
If the Ravens can address wide receiver, which they have tried, they brought in Sammy Bateman. Watkins.
Your guys there,
You know what I'm saying? They're trying to address it. Obviously, tight end is good. You got the speedster over the top, but that bona fide number one guy.
They still don't have it.
They don't have that.
Rashad Bateman could be something.
He could be that.
Mm-hmm.
If Lamar
he ain't there yet, though.
But yeah, and here's the thing. He's not a Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson.
He was out a lot this season. He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he
missed the start of the season.
But my thing is this, right? Like, when you look at the Justin Jeffersons and the Jamar Chases of the world, they come in year one, boom, that guy.
Yeah.
They're the guy. If Rashad Bateman was that guy, he should be that guy.
No. Bateman, I think Bateman got it. I think it's the – I'm not going to say Lamar. I'm going to say the OC. So we need to see what the offense coordinator
is. I've been calling out that OC the last 2 seasons.
Now, I will tell you this, though. The top three receivers for the Bengals are better than all the receivers that he has.
I got a question for you. Does T. Higgins drop balls like that? Because he dropped a big third and five.
I saw that.
But not normally, though.
Me and my homies was, no disrespect to T. Higgins, but he was like, he making that, he's taking up professional decisions. Because I saw some of them catches, he was like, I'm getting down right now, yeah. Boy. Like,
I know.
I ain't Chase. I wasn't a top five pick. Yeah. I'm a second round nigga.
I didn't watch him a lot. So
Tyler Moore can take them hits.
Yeah, he had a lot of questionable decision making at key points in the game. When he dropped that pass, I'm like,
but to me, T Higgins is like, he gets a quiet 100 yards.
He'll be like,
everybody worried about Chase, everybody looking at the highest.
He took advantage
Chase.
Of it.
This motherfucker get about 5-6 catches, 100 yards, don't say nothing.
So where's Tyler Boyd? They don't work him to the offense like that?
I think Tyler Boyd, that he did take a step back, and I think he did acknowledge that, but he's the veteran in this locker room.
Yeah.
So he took that challenge on, like,
and Joe Burrow said,
because AJ Green took him under his wing. And then, you know, people have done that. It's kind of like a passing down for the wide receiver.
And Joe Burrow said he doesn't have the speed or the talent of the other two, but he's always going to be in the right place. So if you notice, he can hit him. Like I said, he's like over the middle. He's always going to be where you need him to be.
But they are scheming him in.
Yeah, he's just not a top target.
He's a third option.
Because he used to be cooking motherfuckers.
He got us the win against Denver that we needed. When he had that touchdown. So I think Burrow trusts him, and he threw him, and he got a touchdown against the Chiefs in that game as well.
Okay. I didn't know if they were working.
It's just that he's the third option. Chase first.
Yeah. I don't know if he was working him.
They were going to look for T.
But if Boyd is your third option, that means you got a great crop.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm saying that all year.
They just missing the O-line. Literally, run game, pass game, quarterback, wide receiver.
And if they get a run game, Joe Mixon had over, 1,200 yards with that O-line.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a fucking... Yeah, we see what Nick Chubbs do with a fucking O-line. Give Joe Mixon O-line. We probably talking about a 1,500, 2,000 yard back.
And P. Ryan rounded his own, too.
P. Ryan can kick rocks.